Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com.
It's a Meat Eater Podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Brody, Randall, Seth, Chester, Alyssa, Chili, Roman, and Keith. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at player performance in the conservation category. In the history of all Meat Eater conservation questions, the player average is 47%, which is the exact same as the hunting category. Now, at the top of the leaderboard, Keith, do you have any predictions about who our best performer is in the conservation category?
Is this company-wide or just in this
room? Get on that mic, Keith.
Oh. Company-wide, who's our best performer in the conservation category?
I think Steve.
Okay, Steve is not right. Chili, okay. You got any guesses?
In the conservation
ooh, category. Who knows the most about conservation?
Man, I would have to go with our director of conservation. That'd be Ryan Callahan.
Also wrong, Alyssa.
Ooh.
Who's at the top of the...
Brody.
Also wrong, Chester.
Randall.
Randall. At the top of the leaderboard is Randall, who gets 70% of conservation questions correct. That's followed by Steve with 66%, Brody with 63%, Clay and Cal with 59%, and Giannis with 57%. Conservation is Randall's strongest category and Brody's weakest category. But Brody, it says a lot about you that your weakest category is a category where you get 63% of questions right.
So, sure, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a compliment.
I'd rather be at the top.
Now, here's our infrequently asked questions segment. If you have a trivia-related question for our crew, send it to trivia@themeateater.com with the subject line IFAQ. Nick B. wants to know, what are the sound bites from Phil's drop? My brain is convinced that it is Breaking Bad while also being sure that I'm 100% wrong. So what is it? Phil, what are the sound bites in your drop?
Well, there's only one sound bite, and that's from No Country for Old Men. 2007 Coen Brothers movie. It's the Cormac McCarthy adaptation. And then Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, of course. It's just those two.
Yeah, and the cadence is such in the No Country for Old Men bit that now when I like see the movie, I'm expecting it to move faster. But it's actually like a very, it's a very simmering scene where it's all very slow.
Love it. It's a great scene.
But it works. It works well. Bryce McCurry wants to know, in the trivia outro music, is there a hidden owl hoot at about the 25-second mark? I keep thinking I hear a little something in there. Phil, is there an owl hoot at the 25-second mark?
There's not. And when you sent this to me, I thought I was going insane because I was like, I've never heard this before. What is this guy talking about? And I listened back and I've only heard this on headphones before, but yeah, at the 25 mark of that song, there's a very sort of like reverberating kind of like boo sound.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure it's just kind of like a stray wood block. Okay. It's not an owl though, so I'm sorry to disappoint, but now that I know that people are listening that hard, I think we should find some ways to do some subliminal messaging here, something like that.
That Bryce is the only person who's ever wrote in about that.
Yeah.
So one of our listeners noticed the fake owl hoot. Now we have some housekeeping to get to. In a recent episode of Trivia, we had a question about the Polish word for sausage, which is kielbasa. We then talked about how it's redundant for packaging to say kielbasa sausage. Well, I wasn't giving food brands enough credit because, as it turns out, almost all of them correctly label kielbasa by calling them just Polish sausage or kielbasa. But I did find one egregious example, which was done by Johnsonville. On their kielbasa packaging, they had it labeled as fresh Polish kielbasa sausage, which is basically the equivalent of calling it fresh Polish sausage sausage. But it appears that the packaging was short-lived, and Johnsonville now just labels their kielbasas as Polish sausage or Polish kielbasas. Randall, in the world of hot dogs, how does Johnsonville rank for you? Are they up there?
I associate Johnsonville with their high-quality brats. Okay. So I was a little surprised to hear that they had mislabeled their kielbasa. But I'm glad that they've corrected it because they usually seem to be on their game.
Okay. Yeah, they're not doing fresh Polish sausage anymore. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 3, so our winner should get 6 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
Question 1, the topic is biology, and as always, this will be multiple choice, and this first great question is via Ryan Wilkins. Biologists refer to these as, quote, bear butter, which grizzlies in the Rocky Mountains will eat thousands of in a single day. Is it mice, slugs, fish eggs, or moths? Biologists refer to these as bear butter, which grizzlies in the Rocky Mountains will eat thousands of in a single day. Is it mice, slugs, fish eggs, or moths? Randall and Brody and Seth knew it immediately. Did you boys even need the multiple choice, or did you just know this? They knew it.
Just knew it.
Rest of the room doesn't quite look as confident. What is bear butter? Is it mice, slugs, fish eggs, or moths? Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester saying moths, Roman saying fish eggs, Keith saying mice, Alyssa saying fish eggs, Chili saying fish eggs, Seth and Randall and Brody saying moths. They got it. The correct answer is moths. Each summer, grizzly bears in the lower 48 feast on army cutworm moths. These moths migrate to high elevation rock fields above the tree line, where it's estimated that some grizzlies eat up to 40,000 each day. The moths are high in fat, which can provide bears with 1/3 of the calories they need for hibernation. Have you boys ever seen this happen before, where they're up there flipping rocks and logs looking for moths?
Nope.
I've seen where they've been digging.
Oh.
I haven't watched them.
40,000 in a single day. I think they said each moth is 8 calories.
I've heard where there's spots in Montana where you can go to watch this, like a drive-in movie theater type.
Yeah,
type
I've seen videos.
Are they those spruce moths?
Army cutworm moths. Question 2. The topic is gear. What camo brand introduced their bottomland pattern in 1986? What camo brand introduced their bottomland pattern in 1986? Keith knew this one. He's our only one wearing camo in the room today. He's also our only player with a pug on his lap. Yeah. Oh, we could hear it there a little.
Yeah, Mavis is rocking.
Say something, bug.
All she's got snorts, guys. But she's been pretty good so far.
What camo brand introduced their bottomland pattern in 1986. Keith, what are you doing in town this week?
I'm here. Open up the new Meat Eater store, flagship store over on Main Street. It's pretty cool.
What are your thoughts on it right away?
It's
3 days till we open.
I just love walking in there. It looks like a museum. You can see all sorts of mounts that a lot of the people here have harvested. You get all the cool First Light stuff. You get to put your hands on it. Some really cool Meat Eater stuff. It's a dream store.
Downtown Bozeman. I've got two deer hanging in there and a fish fossil. So you go check that out. Is everybody ready? Everyone have an answer for the Camel brand who introduced the bottomland pattern in 1986? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester saying Mossy Oak. Roman saying Mossy Oak. Keith saying Mossy Oak. Alyssa saying Mossy Oak. Chili saying Mossy Oak. Seth saying Mossy Oak. Randall saying Mossy Oak. Brody saying Realtree. The correct answer is Mossy Oak.
Suck it, Brody.
Mossy Oak was created by Toxie Haas in Mississippi in 1986. His vision was to take Mississippi dirt, sticks, and leaves and use those elements in a new type of camo. Bottomland was Mossy Oak's first pattern and one of just two patterns that they print in pink.
What was the fella's name?
T-O-X-E-Y? Toxie? Toxie Haas.
Interesting.
Question three. The topic is cooking. Also known as lace fat, this thin membrane surrounds the stomach of deer and pigs. Seth and Brody and Keith appear to know it. The topic is cooking. Also known as lace fat, this thin membrane surrounds the stomach of deer and pigs. Brody, how close were you to saying Mossy Oak on that last one?
Not at all. Thought of Realtree and stuck with it.
Mossy Oak, Bottomland.
I like Realtree Bottomland. Sounds better.
Also known as lace fat, this thin membrane surrounds the stomach of deer and pigs. Randall, do you have this one?
I'm drawing a blank.
Okay.
I know. That's unfortunate.
Wow.
This could give the room a chance to catch up.
Could be that seat you're sitting in that you don't like.
It is. The thin air up there is not giving
you the I feel like a circus animal up on a pedestal here.
Like an elephant in Butte.
Yes, indeed.
Did they wrangle that thing?
They did.
I never saw what the conclusion was.
It took a
I don't think
shit
it was like as
lawn,
big of
though.
A deal as everyone made it out
I
to
mean,
be.
How often is there an elephant walking down the road?
Yeah, but like the trainer was like
you're,
walking
you're
around.
You're downplaying
with it
the elephant no, at I, the town pump
not,
in Butte?
I just like.
At Montana Lil's Casino?
It's like the trainer was walking around behind the thing as it was like cruising around.
I had to go to an appointment, but I almost thought about driving over there in hopes that they hadn't wrangled it and seeing if I could get myself.
Took a dump. In someone's yard, I read.
Yeah. This sounds like a bigger deal than I actually thought it was before now. Also known as lace fat, this thin membrane surrounds the stomach of deer and pigs.
Come up with anything, Randall?
Oh, you know what? I think I did.
I feel like that dump is going to be in a museum in Butte someday because not a lot goes on over there.
They have a great gem and mineral museum in Butte. I've been a couple times. It's phenomenal. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester saying caudal fat. Roman saying caul fat. Keith saying caul fat. Alyssa without an answer.
You've got some work ahead of you on this.
Chili
one,
saying caul fat. Seth saying caul fat. Randall saying caudal. And Brody saying caul fat. The correct answer is caul fat. I don't think we're going to give it to Chester or Randall, who said caudal fin.
I wouldn't want
what about
that?
Roman?
Yeah, we'll give it to Roman. Roman had a creative spelling. He spelled it C-O-W-L. The correct spelling is C-A-U-L.
I spelled it right. I was really thinking I spelled that wrong.
Caul fat is commonly used with sausages and meatballs as a casing. Its job is to baste the meat with moisture as it cooks. To learn how to clean it and cook it, read Danielle Pruitt's article on themeateater.com called The Total Guide to Caul Fat. Has anyone in this room cooked with caul fat before?
I have.
What do you do with it, Brody?
Usually, I've only done it a couple times. I'll just wrap a big chunk of backstrap in it.
Yeah, Danielle tells you all about
it. It's hard to deal with out in the field, like keeping it clean and all that.
Very easy to like get it covered in dirt or grass, and it's difficult to clean.
And gut juice if you're unfortunate in your shot placement.
Question four. The topic is fishing. Fly Lords Magazine declared this national park, which is in Tennessee and North Carolina, one of the greatest parks for fly fishing in America. Fly Lords Magazine declared this national park, which is in Tennessee and North Carolina, one of the greatest parks for fly fishing in America. We have a confident Brody and Keith.
I'm not super confident.
Okay, quick to answer, I should say. Roman and Randall joined them. Randall, do you know this one?
I do.
And how close were you to coming up with call fat on that last one?
I just added an extra syllable there.
Two letters. Made it a very different word all of a sudden.
There's a little extra bump in the middle that I didn't need, but I was dancing around it.
Yeah, instead you came up with the tail fin.
Well, I knew,
fish.
And that's why I knew it was wrong when I wrote it.
Mm, very close.
But I just, the sound of it registered true.
Fly Lords Magazine declared this national park, which is in Tennessee and North Carolina, one of the greatest parks for fly fishing in America. This is question four. Brody, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm just wondering if I need to go ahead.
Is everyone else ready?
Don't change it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester saying Smoky Mountains. Roman saying Great Smokies National Park. Keith saying Great Smokies. Alyssa saying the Great Smoky Mountains. Chili saying Smoky Mountains. Seth saying Great Smoky Mountains. Randall saying Great Smoky Mountain. Brody saying Great Smoky Mountain. The correct answer is Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I think everybody gets that one.
Would you have accepted Smoky Mountain?
Well,
he seems to have.
I think we will accept it.
Well, I'm just
Chester.
Asking because I added great at the last second.
Yeah, we'll give it to you if you just said Smoky Mountains, but the full answer is Great Smoky Mountains National Park. That was a 100%er. We haven't had that in a little bit. Great Smoky Mountains has 3,000 miles of streams where you can catch brook trout, rainbow trout, brown trout, smallmouth bass, and rock bass. The park actually closed many of its brook trout fisheries starting in the 1930s, but when populations began to rebound, they opened those waters up in 2006. The other parks on Fly Lords' list, do you guys want to guess them? There were four other parks on their list for the best fly fishing parks in America.
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone is on there.
Rocky Mountain.
Everglades.
Everglades was on there. Rocky Mountain was on there, so you're missing one.
Denali.
No.
Acadia.
No.
Something in Washington.
Oh, you're on the right track there. What's in Washington?
Olympia? North Cascades.
Olympic National Park was the last one. So the total list was Great Smoky Mountains, Yellowstone, Olympic, Rocky Mountain, and Everglades. Question five. The topic is conservation. Alaska's proposed pebble mine would have been located on this notable watershed. Randall and Brody appear to know it. Seth and Keith are joining them with answers. Alaska's proposed pebble mine would have been located on this notable watershed. But do you think you have it right? Do you have it right, Brody?
I hope so.
Okay.
But I saw we'll see.
He doesn't like the wording.
Okay. I saw some news this morning about the pebble mine.
Was it good or bad?
We can talk about it when we're done.
Okay.
Alaska's proposed pebble mine would have been located on this notable watershed. Randall, in your TRCP days, did you guys work a lot with the pebble mine topic?
We did indeed. Worked on that quite a bit.
This is question five. We'll get a scoreboard update from Phil the Engineer after this. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester saying Kenai. Roman without an answer. Keith saying Bristol Bay. Alyssa without an answer. Chili without an answer. Seth and Randall and Brody saying Bristol Bay. They got it. The correct answer is Bristol Bay. What was your problem, Brody, with the wording
it's
on
like,
that?
It's the watershed part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the watershed is like the freshwater up inland.
When you see it talked about, they always refer to the Bristol Bay watershed.
I get where you're coming from.
Big concern. I thought you were going to want to say it was like a salmon watershed or
No.
The Pebble Mine deposit was discovered in the 1980s. The area is thought to be home to millions of pounds of copper and gold that are worth an estimated $400 billion. But it's also where the world's largest sockeye salmon run takes place. A final determination was made by the EPA last January that effectively blocked the mine under the Clean Water Act. The update I saw this morning was from Trout Unlimited, and I think they said it was like another nail in the coffin. So further killing the idea that the Pebble Mine will happen. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
It's one of those games where everyone's on the board. They've got more than 1 point. Alyssa has 2. Roman, Chili, and Chester all have 3 points apiece. Randall, Keith, and Brody have 4. And with a perfect game, it's Seth Morris, or as Steve would say, Seth. Even Seth.
Even Seth. 5. Yeah, very nice.
Even old Seth.
Right, should have been Seth. Looking over your board there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it 1,000 times more. If you got a family, you got people that rely on you, you need to take life insurance seriously. And Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. So with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Your life insurance policy, you know, that you get at work may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. Now, this is super convenient, right? Because a lot of times, you know, something like life insurance, you're just going to put it off because you're like, when will I ever have time to do that? I don't even know who to talk to about it. Well, this helps you do it online. Okay, again, you're comparing options from top companies, all right? Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Applying for tags each year in the West can be daunting. Yeah, I apply for everything everywhere. It's daunting. You have to go to a variety of sources to formulate your best guess as to where to apply. Well, this is a thing of the past now. Onyx just launched Hunt Research Tools to simplify the process for all hunters. This tool helps organize the data that matters, makes comparing hunt options easy, and helps hunters develop a plan based on real metrics rather than gut feelings. OnX Hunt also offers all elite members a free digital membership to Hunt and Fool, who I use, for boots on the ground insight and knowledge, and a membership to Hunt Reminder so you never miss another deadline. Stop stressing over application season and apply with confidence in 2024. Check out OnX Hunt Research Tools, free for all OnX Hunt Elite members. Not an elite member? Well, let's fix that. Use code MeatEater to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. This is an app I use literally every day. I use it for every aspect of hunting, scouting, trapping, you name it. O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/MeatEater. That's OReillyAuto.com/MeatEater.
Question 6. The topic is hunting. This next great question is via Rocco Height. What 2001 Jeff Daniels comedy is about Reuben Sody and his Upper Peninsula deer camp? Shit. Seth, this may ruin the perfect game. The topic is hunting. This is question six. What 2001 Jeff Daniels comedy is about Reuben Sody and his Upper Peninsula deer camp? Keith, you know this one.
It's a wild movie.
Okay, there's a hint for Seth. It's a wild movie, Keith says. Randall, have you seen this movie?
I have not.
Phil, have you seen this movie?
I have not.
Phil, I'd love for you to review this movie for
us. I also don't know. I also don't know if I have it right. Okay. So maybe I have seen it, but maybe. My answer's wrong.
Wow. Seth is yet to pick up his whiteboard.
I know it. I think I saw it, but I can't remember the name.
Too bad for Seth. He's surrounded by folks who appear to know it. Their whiteboards are down.
I'm going to give you so much shit.
What 2001 Jeff Daniels comedy is about Reuben Sody and his Upper Peninsula deer camp?
I just think you have to be a certain level of Midwestern to appreciate the humor in this film.
Okay, another hint.
Well, you said Upper Peninsula.
Yeah.
Son of a biscuit.
There goes the perfect game, Seth.
Chester doesn't know it either. And he's basically from the Upper Peninsula.
It's one of those ones I'm definitely going to be kicking myself for. I know it.
I thought you'd have some pushback on basically being from the Upper Peninsula.
Chet, why hasn't Wisconsin just taken the Upper Peninsula?
The Upper Peninsula got taken from Wisconsin.
You guys should have a war over there.
Seth, are you going to come up with an answer?
No, go ahead.
Is everybody ready?
I didn't want a perfect score anyway, Spencer.
Chester's writing.
A lot of writing.
Don't be so down on yourself.
You're going to beat yourself.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester saying The Great Outdoors. Roman without an answer. Keith saying Escanaba in the Moonlight. Alyssa saying The Big Lebowski. Chili and Randall and Brody with the correct answer saying Escanaba in the Moonlight. Seth without an answer that ruins his perfect game. Brody is prodding at Randall's whiteboard because he had the instead of duh.
I would point out that Chili had the as well.
I had the.
And it happens to be his Instagram handle. Yeah.
I'm just going by Chili's Instagram handle.
I'm just going for like the UP vernacular.
Escanaba in the Moonlight follows a family on the eve of deer hunting season that must deal with the eldest son's curse of never having bagged a buck. It was written by, directed by, and starring Jeff Daniels. The movie received a 79% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, which is similar to Grumpy Old Men, and it received a 50% critic score, which is similar to Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Mm. Must be good.
Question seven. The topic is natural history. This next great question is via Stephen Irwin. What were Lewis and Clark's first names? What were Lewis and Clark's first names? A confident looking room. Seems like most of them have come up with one answer by now. Randall has both. His whiteboard is down. Chester looks like Chester, Roman, and Keith seem to be stuck on what the second name is for Lewis and Clark. What were Lewis and Clark's first names? Surprising upset here. Brody has his whiteboard pressed against his temple. He doesn't look confident.
Confident in one.
Confident in one of them. I think that's where seven of our players are right now. Except for Randall. Randall's
the old circus elephant.
He's got perfect posture over here. I'm proud.
I'm trying to maintain perfect posture, but as the viewers will certainly notice, I think my head has moved around in this whole plane during the course of the past 20 minutes.
Now we're doing half points for this one, right?
No. Unless you're my wife, she earns half points in these. What were Lewis and Clark's first names? Chester, you got one of them? Maybe?
You know, I think so, but...
Okay.
I'm not very good at this game, so.
Oh, God. I just read Undaunting Courage, too.
Wow. What were Lewis and Clark's first names? Brody, do you think you have it now?
I think I'm wrong on one of them.
Brody thinks he might be wrong.
Oh, come on.
Is everybody ready?
No.
Keith, do you have these right?
I think I got one, maybe the second one.
All right. What were Lewis and
Clark's? Now, before we go, do these got to be in the right order, Spencer?
No, they don't have to be in the right order. Whatever order you put them in.
It would be so weird if you did it the other way.
We'll see.
I feel like that would be like someone
getting it wrong.
No, I just.
Is everybody ready?
Sure.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester, who's not going to show his whiteboard.
I got it wrong.
Roman saying Meriwether and John. Keith saying Meriwether and William. Alyssa without an answer. Chili saying Meriwether and Raymond. Seth saying Meriwether. Randall saying Meriwether and William. Brody saying Meriwether and John. The correct answers are Meriwether and William. So we had, I think, two folks get that right. Randall and Keith. Meriwether means happy weather and is supposed to be given to someone with a sunny temperament. William means resolute protector and is supposed to be for someone who is a defender of the vulnerable. William is the sixth most popular boy name in America today, with Meriwether being ranked number 23,141. I think we should bring that name back.
It's a rather ironic ironic name given his disposition.
Yeah.
And his ultimate
killed himself, but it's supposed to be for someone who has a sunny temperament. What do you got, Chester?
From melancholia, as they would say.
Meriwether Lewis and William Clark.
That's right. Meriwether Lewis and William Clark.
Oh, boy.
That was question 7. Question 8. The topic is conservation. This colorful fish, which is native to the Amazon, was introduced to Miami waterways in 1984. This colorful fish, which is native to the Amazon, was introduced to Miami waterways in 1984. Brody, Randall, Seth, Chester, and Keith all appear know it.
I think I have this right, but I'm guessing there are probably dozens of fish that fit this description.
In 1984, though? In 1984? And were they specifically introduced to Miami?
I can't prove it otherwise.
Okay. All right. And are they colorful?
They came from the Amazon.
A lot of qualifiers.
Completely wrong. If you're an expert out there on the
please write to trivia@themeateater.com.
Of Miami's waterways in 1984, would like to hear from you.
If you can name two colorful fish from the Amazon.
I think I actually said dozens, so there's a much higher threshold to clear.
What colorful fish, or this colorful fish, which is native to the Amazon, was introduced to Miami waterways in 1984. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester saying peacock bass, Roman without an answer, Keith saying peacock bass, Alyssa saying clownfish, Chili without an answer, Seth and Randall and Brody saying peacock bass. They got it. The correct answer is peacock bass. Peacock bass were stocked in South Florida waterways by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Their goal was to use the peacock bass to control growing populations of exotic fish such as tilapia and Oscar. The experiment worked, and the state now manages peacock bass as a game fish. You're allowed to keep 2 per day, which is 3 less than the limit on largemouth bass.
You're saying that it worked, non-native invasive species.
They deemed it to be a successful experiment. They were very satisfied with the results, and they had a 10-year study leading up to it before they came to the determination that they should stock peacock bass. Using one exotic to control 10 other exotics. Phil, we have 2 questions left. Who remains in the game?
Alyssa, Roman, Chili, and Chester cannot win this game of Meat Eater Trivia, but Seth and Brody have 6 points. And Randall and Keith are tied up in first place with 7.
Mm. All right. Question 9. The topic is cooking. This five-letter plural noun is a Spanish word defined as, quote, shared small plates of food. This five-letter plural noun is a Spanish word defined as shared small plates of food. Keith and Randall seem to know it. This is going to keep them locked up in first place going into question 10. This five-letter plural noun is a Spanish word defined as shared small plates of food. Quiet game.
I'm thinking about caudal fat.
Seth, do you know this one? Shared small plates of food. Chester, how about you? You got this one right?
I think so.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester saying tapas, Roman without an answer, Keith saying, and Alyssa and Randall and Brody saying tapas. Seth, what did yours say, Seth?
It's nothing.
Chili without an answer. The correct answer was tapas. According to Food and Wine magazine, tapas are essentially appetizers served alongside beer or wine and can be everything from olives to meatballs to shrimp. Danielle Pruitt says her favorite tapas are Spanish turkey and date skewers, a recipe you can get on themeateater.com. Question 10, we have Randall and Keith tied up in first place. And who's right behind them, Phil?
Brody has 7.
Brody with 7. The topic is fishing. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Ryder Leary for sending this great question. Ryder is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. Randall is staring at the screen, waiting for the question to show up. Here it is. This bass lure with a rhyming name has a hard plastic spook-style body with a rotating propeller. This is question 10. Brody knows it. He has emphatically closed his marker and thrown down his whiteboard. This could tie him up with Keith and Randall if they don't get this right. This bass lure with a rhyming name has a hard plastic spook-style body with a rotating propeller. Chester, do you know this one?
Again, I think so.
Okay. You got the name rhymes that you have there. Brody, you know this one for certain.
We're going to find out, okay. Spencer.
He's got a smile on his face. I think Brody has it. Randall and Keith.
If I don't, I hope Keith does.
Have not wrote anything down yet. This bass lure with a rhyming name has a hard plastic spook-style body with a rotating propeller. You think you'd have an answer if it didn't have to rhyme?
I can picture a hard plastic bait.
Chester, do you think you have one of these in your tackle box without giving away too many hints?
No.
Okay.
I have in the past.
Oh, do you think Seth has one of these in his tackle box?
No.
Okay.
Might, but I don't.
I have in the past. I just can't remember
but
his
he
name.
Doesn't know what it is. Yeah, I would say per capita, Montana has to be one of the least likely states to have one of these.
I might actually have one of these
in their tackle box.
Bet you Pike would eat it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Keith, did you come up with an answer?
I got an answer. It's pretty cool.
Does it rhyme? Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, you know, we've had questions like this in the past where I've been inspired by some of the names people came up with that we need to create some lures that have these names. So I have high expectations, Keith, for fictional lure. Randall,
how are we doing
over here?
No.
It's creative.
Oh, I thought you were telling us the right answer.
Oh, no, I don't know. I can't think of it.
Is everybody ready? Chester says, hold on. He's trying to think of what used to be in his tackle box.
Does anyone ever write in being like, these idiots can't spell?
Well, there was a lot of folks wanted me to be a hard ass about the stalagmite, stalactite question.
Oh.
You know, I remember that, and it wouldn't have mattered because
everyone had the same answer.
Everyone spelled it wrong.
Oh, wow, Seth.
Wait, did I just...
Oh, yeah, I think you did. I saw that.
Is he looking at
your whiteboard? Wow.
Let's go. Man, come on.
I think we're out of time. Go ahead and reveal your answers.
I don't know if this is it, but I just
We have Chester saying Whopper Plopper. Roman without an answer. Keith saying the Rad Shad, which I think is actually a soft plastic, maybe made by Berkeley. It's like a paddle tail. So I think the Rad Shad might exist. Alyssa sang Chopper Bopper. Chili without an answer. Seth sang Whopper Plopper. Randall sang Papa Choppa. Brody sang Whopper Plopper. The correct answer is Whopper Plopper. Brody got it right. That means we're going to a three-way tiebreaker with Randall and Keith. Whopper ploppers are a floating lure that creates a bubble trail when retrieved. They blew up in popularity after a 2016 Bassmaster Elite Series event in Toledo Bend when Chris Lane nearly won the tournament using the unique lure. Despite its recent popularity, the Whopper Plopper has been around for about 100 years, with the first version being a musky lure called the Mud Puppy. Mm. We're going to overtime. Play the drop, Phil.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I think just cut it at if you ain't first, you're last, and then like go into other stuff that's funny. I never liked it. Hey, Phil, f*** off, man.
The tie-breaking topic is cooking. This will be a numerical question, so whoever is the closest between Keith, Randall, and Brody will be declared today's winner. According to a 2023 Gallup poll, what percentage of Americans identify as vegetarian?
Decimal point.
Right to a decimal point. So we have a for sure winner. According to a 2023 Gallup poll, what percentage of Americans identify as vegetarian? Everyone should play along, though, Chili, in case someone hits it right on the nose. We're going to add an extra $100
to the decimal point.
What percentage of Americans identify as vegetarian?
I feel like this is going to be a real tight one.
Mm. Now, Phil, before someone writes in with an IFAQ about the tie-breaking sound, what movie clip is that soundbite pulled from?
There's the Ballad of Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights. Uh-huh. It used to go on longer, yep. And then Steve complained about it, and I put Steve complaining about it into the drop.
Very good.
Yes.
What percentage of Americans identify as vegetarian as of 2023?
Vegetarian as an all-encompassing term.
As in, they said, are you a vegetarian? Are you a pescatarian? Are you omnivore? Are you
vegan? Vegans would be separate from vegetarian?
I think that would be separate in their
polling. Oh, geez, that makes it real complicated.
That's weird. You'd think they would be part of vegetarian.
What percentage of Americans identify as vegetarian? Wow, and a pug grunt to cap it all off.
She's impressed with this one.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Chester saying 10.4%. Roman saying 13.4%. Alyssa saying 23.7%. Chili saying 33.6%, Seth saying 8.7%, and our three players remaining in the game, Keith saying 11.2, Randall saying 14.6, Brody saying 13.9. The correct answer is 4%, making Keith our winner. He was 7.2 percentage points off. 4% of Americans identify as vegetarian. That's down from 5% in 2012 and 6% in 2001. Keith, well done.
Love it. Thanks,
guys. The winner of today's trivia. Now you get to make a $500 donation. Where's that $500 going
to
go?
I hate to kind of be bland with it, but the land access initiative we do here is one of my favorite things, so I'd love to just see it go that direction.
There we go. The Meat Eater LAI. We just wrapped up our auction house of oddities. I think we were hoping to make $30,000 in that, and instead we doubled it and made $60,000. That's going to get spent pretty quickly, so Keith is starting over with another $500
cool.
going to the LAI. Well done, Keith. He played at the Meat Eater store and came in second to Steve, I believe, right?
Yeah, the First Light store in Haley.
The First Light store, I'm sorry.
Yep. Yep.
Everyone was cheering for Keith that game. It didn't happen. Brody was cheering for Keith this game.
Till I got into the time.
Here he is in the winner's circle. Well done, Keith.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG SolarStream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.